just situate it up here, and then we'll continue to dig into the Word of God. Good morning, everyone. I hope I don't make you nervous. You know, I look around and I'll probably have eye contact with a few of you that are so dear to me, all of you. So if I kind of stare at you, just say, okay, you know, it's been a few months since I've stared at his ugly face, so we'll see if we can get through this. But the reason I'm here, and that's the mission of every preacher, is to encourage God's people. When God's people are encouraged, then the preacher is encouraged as well. You know, we find precedent for that in the Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm staring at someone. I'm staring at folks. But that's okay, isn't it? You know, it's just great to experience the joy of reunion and renewal and all that kind of stuff. Just part of the good things of life, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 at verse 2, we find this. It tells us that Paul loved that church in Thessalonica. And he said, because I love you and I know you're going through some things that everyone has to go through in life, I sent Timothy, our brother, a minister of God, a fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you. Now watch that. To establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. So it's always a preacher's duty then, I believe, to encourage and to lift people up and to let them come to an understanding of how valuable they are to their Creator. Now, I want you to think about that together with me this morning. God loved us so much that He did some things that only He could do that makes it possible for us to be able to look optimistically toward our futures. You know, God has a marvelous plan. They call it good news. They call it the gospel. You know, I don't know. Do any of you guys watch Channel 4 news in the morning? Who is it? Mark Alford and Abby Eaton? Do I have the names right? I can't remember. This one gal has a segment that's called Tell Me Something Good. I love the catchy little tune, don't you? Tell me something good. And that kind of perks me up a little bit, because usually the lead into that is all the carnage on the streets. You know, somebody did somebody wrong song kind of thing. But then we hear, tell me something good. How does it make you feel when someone tells you something good? Well, you feel good, right? You feel good. I heard the crazy story about this Aussie. You know, he goes into a restaurant with a full-sized ostrich, and he orders a hamburger, Coke, and fries, and he turns to his ostrich friend, and he says, what do you want, a hamburger, Coke, and fries? The waitress took the order and delivered the goods and said, that'll be $18.40. The guy reached in his pocket without looking, pulled out the exact change and gave it to her. The next night he comes in, the ostrich right behind. Coke, fries, and a hamburger. She delivered, and what do you want? The ostrich said the same. This went on, and each time he would reach in his pocket, he'd pull out and give her the exact change she asked for. So this went on, and then on Friday he comes in And the waiter greets him and says, the usual, he says, no, it's Friday. I want steak, baked potato, and a salad. And my friend will have the same. She comes back and delivers it and says, that'll be $47.82. He reaches in his pocket and exact change. After the waiter said, you know, I'm just really curious. How in the world do you have the right change without even counting it? He said, well, let me tell you, I was up the other, not too long ago, in the attic, and I found this old lamp. So I rubbed it, and this genie told me I could have two wishes. So I said, I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to have enough money in my pocket for anything I want to buy when I want to buy it. She said, that's brilliant. Every time you need something, you've got the money right exact amount in your pocket? Yeah. She says, most people would ask for $1 million or something like that, but you're going to be rich all your life, aren't you? But she says, but what's with the ostrich? He said, well, he said, the second wish was I asked for this tall chick with long legs that would never disagree with me and do everything I ask it to do. So be careful what good news you get, right? You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 50, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. So brethren, we're here not because we want to comfort our fleshly lives. We're here to feed the spirit, the eternal hope that God has given to all. He did this for, it's good news what he's done for us. Let's take a look at some of the things that he's done. You know, I've been away from here so long, I can't even remember what button to push. But I'm getting it. You know, he's here to give us hope. I don't know how many times you've experienced this, but I experience it way too much. I do something that I'm ashamed of. Well, I'm not going to share you the intimate details of the last one. But it wasn't that long ago. But he who knew no sin, God made to be sin on our behalf so that I can become the righteousness of God in him. That's why you're here today. You've experienced things in your life that you want relief from. And he is the great physician. He's the one that made it possible for us to be justified by our faith. He's the one that made faith the victory that overcomes the world. He's the one that reminds us on a daily basis that he loves us so much that he'll provide the air that we need to survive, the food we need for energy. He's the one that makes it possible for us to come and sing and make praises to him and make melody in our hearts because we're so glad that he blesses us. Good news, he did that just for us. Our sin problem has been taken care of. I want you to go to the book of John, chapter 10. We're going to do some reading together, and then we're going to look into it a little more in detail. Pick it up with me in verse 22. It was winter time, and Jesus walked, verse 23, in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Isn't that what you read, Brock? Is Brock still here? Oh, he's downstairs. I want Brock to remember that God wants to hear him, follow him when he calls, because he's his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Drive a peg right down by that phrase. They'll never perish. They're going to live for eternity. And while we're waiting to join our loved ones who've gone into eternity, God walks with us through this valley in the shadow of death so that we can fear no evil. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news that there's no way that Satan can take away my prize? I'm guaranteed security. I'm guaranteed eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord, the one who took care of our sin problems. He was the one in Isaiah prophesied 730 years before it took place that was wounded for our transgressions. He was the one that took upon himself our sins and made it possible for us to stand in his presence. You're reading it, justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Don't forget that, Jenny. Never forget that. He's the one that takes care of the problems that plague the human race and make it possible for us to go right into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in our time of need. Oh, yes, I'm quoting Scripture. Yes, it's found in your Bible, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and verse 14 and following. We stand justified by our faith in Jesus. He took all our sins upon him, and by his stripes. Wasn't that a good time we had together, communing with God in the holy sacraments of the Lord's Supper? Wasn't that good? We stand together as a family of God who feast on the spiritual food straight from the throne of God. Our sin problem is taken care of. So all we have to do is listen. Somebody might say, "No, wait a minute, preacher, you got to do a lot more than that." But you know, there's something I think more comprehensive in that word listen. If we listen, the implication is that we do what we hear. Would you agree with that? Oh, we can hear all day long, but if we don't do what we hear, it doesn't do us any good. I love my brother Leon's prayers. He'll often, in his prayer, say over and over again, "Let us be doers of the word and not hearers only." Isn't that right, brother? Our elder would nod his head in affirmation of teaching that to each and reminding that to each and every one of us. It's all we have to do is listen. Listen to Jesus. Notice in John chapter 10, verse 26 and 7, his skeptics did not believe because they were not his sheep. And he said to them, "My sheep hear my voice." And what do? "I know them and they follow me." The big question today is, I look around at folks, are you following Jesus? Ask yourself that life and death question. I mean, ask yourself that, please. Am I following Jesus? If you are, you're his sheep. If you are, you're his sheep. If you're not following him, you're not his sheep. Which one of those sheep are you? You know, I thought I would, let me get out my pointer and see. Yeah, it still works. I kind of think that might be me, right about there Oh, maybe that's me on the outside, almost to wander away. But if I hear his voice and follow him, I'm going to stay in the flock of God's protected family. Robbie asked the question earlier, am I shouting? Am I too loud? I kind of understand where you're coming from. Now, you know what I was thinking when he said that? I said, he's so used to barking out orders. Hey, young man, you straighten up. You know, the Lord doesn't bark out orders to his people. He comforts them. If they hear his voice and follow him, they find peace. They find peace. My peace I give to them. My peace I leave to you, he said. You know, his sheep hear his voice and they follow him and they find peace. So I ask the question, we all must ask ourselves this question. You know, there's some folks that may be sitting on the fringe, out here on the extremes, edges, wondering, should I get inside that safety of the fold of God's sheep? You know, I've got some issues that I'm dealing with. And, you know, I don't feel comfortable right here, right now. You know, do I really belong here right now? But you know, God, your Creator, has solved that problem. He says, if you believe in me and you do what I say and listen to my voice, you're going to be my sheep. You're going to be okay. And your sin problem was nailed to that cross a long time ago. That's already been resolved. That's taken care of. Is all you've got to do now is listen to his voice, believe in him, and let him lead you all the way into eternity. Now listen, we are talking about serious things today. We're talking about life and death. The Bible says, I plead with my people, choose life that you might live. Are you chained with a ball to sin? Sadly, I know that there are some in this audience that are carrying around the ball and chain of sin. I want you to hear something. I want you to hear something. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. I believe it is. Let me get over there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. No, we're going to go back up to verse 22. Flee also, Timothy, youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility. Now watch, we're getting into the meat of what I want you to hear. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Now watch, 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 listen to verse 26. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? If you believe that, you're on your way to being a family member of God's fold who hear his voice and follow what he says. Look at verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You know, a sermon should be constructed around at least at least two great principles. Number one, encouragement to be faithful unto death, to receive the crown of life. And number two, to warn of the consequences of rejecting the word. Two great principles that every sermon should be centered around. And so we examine ourselves to see if we are in the Lord. We test ourselves as to whether we are in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13 at verse 5. Or else do you not know, brethren, that you will be disqualified? Good news. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. That's Scripture. And so we come and we rejoice and we receive the good news, but we're aware of the consequences if we neglect so great a salvation, which was once delivered to the saints. And so the message is for all humankind, all of God's creatures He loves and cares for. If you believe, you must obey. Our prize. Do you like prizes? I love prizes. I'm going to embarrass you, Morgan. I'm looking right at you. You're a prize to me. Oh, I'm looking around. Oh, you wonderful people. I mean, we can't go to Texas and leave all these folks behind. But you know, God's people are going to have a great reunion. Joe, we won't get depressed when the Royals start out 3-10. You know, it's good to know that we are on the way to eternal life together. Those of us here today who are not in the sheepfold, you can take care of that. He says, I give you eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Remember that passage I read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 26? Satan cannot keep us chained to sin when we turn to the Savior and we listen to His voice and follow His instructions. We're going to go to heaven. We are on our way to heaven, and there is no one that can snatch us out of the loving, guaranteed care of God. So I opened the sermon by saying, you know, one of the things a preacher is to do is to encourage. So I want you to leave this place today knowing that you have eternal security in Christ Jesus through loving and obedient faith in Jesus. If you're not in His loving care, you can leave this place justified by your faith and your willingness to obey. And as many as believed that day, Acts chapter 2 at verse 47, they were immersed, they were baptized into Christ, and the Lord added to their number 3,000 that day. But you know, He's always looking for one more. Oh yes, two or three or four more in each gathering. And if you're willing to respond, you can believe, justified by your faith in Jesus Christ, or otherwise leave uncertain. Today is the day of salvation. Why put it off? If you wandered away and you know that you're not firmly and safely in the secure fold of God's sheepfold, you may want to publicly affirm that you want to be safe in His sheepfold. Ah, the water's ready. If you just need to return, you just confess that sin, and God is a loving, graceful, and forgiving God. As together we stand and sing.